The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Inquiries of Our Reality. Shane Jones.
Reality isn't what it seems. I'm Dr. D's taking aboard a craft with a tractor beam. Is life a simulation or an astral dream? Aliens travel through black holes in different galaxies. Life is a bizarre odyssey. With a mic talking about philosophy. Well, Bigfoot is stalking campers. As a Wendigo walks through the woods of sharpened antlers. Using a Ouija board to talk to the dead like a necromancer. There's so many questions and not enough answers. So if you're interested in mysteries and abnormalities, tune in and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality. So if you're interested in mysteries and abnormalities, tune in and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane, and today we're going to be diving back into the paranormal yet again, because of course it is one of the most fascinating topics. And actually, I didn't know this until right before we started, that today's guest is actually the son of a previous guest who's been on the show really, really early in the show. We dive into a little bit, but it's always nice to be able to reconnect with people that you talk to in the beginning of your show and know what's going on with them, especially people that unfortunately dropped out of the community. But of course, happy the same that they're all doing good within their personal life. But as far as today goes, we dive into a bunch of different weird paranormal experiences, share some theories and everything on it, and it's definitely a fascinating episode. I think you guys are thoroughly going to enjoy it. And on the next episode, I will, of course, give you guys a rundown of everything that went down at Small Town Monster Fest 2 over the weekend. And for all the people that I did see out there, super happy to have seen you guys. Glad you guys were able to make it out. And hopefully I see you guys at the next event, because it's always awesome being able to meet you guys. But moving into front of house, if anybody has an encounter that you'd like to report, you guys can report those to ommencounterreports@outlook.com. And depending on what you guys want to do with those, I may even have you as a guest on the show to share your experience, or I could read in the beginning of the show. Or if you don't want it to be talked about whatsoever and you just want somebody to talk about and share your experiences with completely off air, that's totally okay too. I would love to do that with you. And if you're in a state reasonably close to me, I may even be able to possibly come out and investigate it. But none of that will happen unless you guys report those encounter reports to ommencounterreports@outlook.com. Or you guys can go to the link tree, and there is a specific submission form for that, of course. And if you guys enjoyed this show, please check out my other podcast, Bizarre Encounters, that I do with my awesome co-host over there, Oren, where we deep dive into a variety of interesting and bizarre topics. And of course, go and check out our YouTube/Patreon exclusive show, Bizarre Inquiries, where we take in a bunch of your listener questions and let our minds wander, of course. And you guys can always submit questions for that that we can discuss on the show. And of course, if you guys submit a great question, we will give you guys a shout out. And even if it is a Patreon exclusive episode, we'll make sure that you guys get a copy of it. And if you guys want to support the show, you guys can do so through the Patreon. Like I said, recently updated those tiers probably about a month or so ago. So there's a lot of new options over there and new perks for all of the different tiers. And, you guys can also support the show through the OMM merch store. And guys, don't forget, I did recently drop that new design that says alien or demon, you decide, with this really cool design where it's a mix between like an alien and a demon, depending on which way you look at it, of course. And if you guys want to scoop that, Crypto10 is still active if you guys want to get 10% off. And the third way you guys can support the show is through leaving a review or rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify. Greatly, greatly appreciate that. Haven't gotten a typed out review in a long time, so it'd be really cool if you guys wouldn't mind submitting some of those so that I can read them on the show and give you guys a big shout out. And you guys can help me boost up the show in the algorithm and make it so that more people are able to see the show. And if you guys want to stay up to date on the show, you guys can check out Inquiries of Our Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram, Facebook, Discord, YouTube, and TikTok. And every single thing that I mention is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show, Austin Barnett, paranormal investigator. How's it going today, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Dude, absolute pleasure to have you on the show, especially because we just had a little bit of a conversation before we started up, and I didn't realize that your dad was a former guest on the show, so just an even another connection. I ended up, I think you messaged me, and I'm always down to have interesting people on the show, and yeah, I didn't know there was a connection.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's been telling me that I need to get in touch with you for a while now, and it's just one of those things. We've been so busy with just everything else that we're doing. It's been a nightmare almost. Dream come true, but a nightmare.
Yeah, I feel like he mentioned you on the show, too, a couple times.
I probably mentioned Dead Watch a few times because I was the one who got him the ball rolling on it. All of his stuff. I'm the one who created his intro video, and actually the idea from Cryptic Country was actually mine originally, and I had a friend that was trying to run it on our YouTube channel, and he just completely could not run it to save his life. So I ended up giving it to my dad, and he did a lot more with it than I think any of us really could have done.
Yeah, I love the name too. That was one thing I had to mention. So I guess a good spot to start, considering that you kind of do your own thing aside from Cryptid Country, of course, like you said, you started it off and then you kind of fed it off to your dad and you do your own stuff now. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what you got into after that and a little bit about what you do?
All right. So I was working with formerly another group that, believe it or not, my dad had actually started back in 2003, along with God rest his soul, my uncle that just recently passed. And a close family friend, another close family friend. And it ran from like 2003 all the way up until like 2018. But when it started getting up until like the 2018, they kind of were handing it off to me, and they handed me basically what was a broken paranormal group. Like, everybody that was in the group didn't get along with each other. I couldn't get anybody coordinated to do anything. It was a complete nightmare. And I shut it down. A couple years later, I ended up just trying my hand at it, and I opened up Dead Watch, and we've been rolling strong ever since, traveling around, just investigating places, and we took a little bit of a break here over the last couple months, but just with, you know, my uncle and everything kind of put me back a little bit, but we're just actually stepping back into it this month.
I'm glad that you guys ended up continuing on instead of, of course, something happens in the family, and sometimes people end up coming back around to something, but at the end of the day, man, I feel like it's one of those things where if you are really passionate about something and you like doing something that's in this field, no matter what happens, of course, you got to just make sure you come back around to it. And especially if your uncle, you know, was a member of, the investigation team, it's almost like one of those things, too, where you kind of help carry on his legacy a little bit, too. So it's like a cool thing to continue it because it's one of the things he kind of left over in a way, too.
Definitely, definitely. And I got my little brothers are involved with it. My little sister's involved with it. It's become more of like a family business than it has really anything else. And I think honestly, it's what keeps us so close knit and keeps us going so strong with each other, because it's just we've grown up with each other. I've raised all those kids pretty much. And, you know, we're all just close.
Dude, and especially being able to bond over something that's kind of interesting and weird that not a lot of other families talk about or get into. It always seems like families end up being a lot closer when they have like one hobby that's not just one of those hobbies that you just kind of hear say do, but one of the ones that almost like kind of has like its own like belief system and everything in it. It seems like it forms a stronger bond. Like, I know people have like strong bonds over like, you know, being like a baseball family or a hockey family or whatever like that. But when you're an investigator family of like paranormal investigators, cryptid researchers, Sasquatchers, like any of that stuff, it just seems like the bond's always way closer. Or on the other end of the spectrum, you get one person that doesn't believe in any of it and they kind of just disappear from the community.
Right. Now, every single one of my family members, even like the younger ones, I can't even touch it yet because they're just so young. They're even interested in it.
So at least where did it kind of start for like you and your family, I guess, because it seems like if your whole family's into it, you know, maybe you guys had something where it was like a shared experience, or you guys as like a whole have kind of had experiences your whole life. But, you know, at least for you, your family, like the team, where did it all kind of start for you guys? What got you interested as a family into the paranormal?
My dad was always, as far back as I can remember, was always into it. He would tell me stories when he was growing up about how they would mess with Ouija boards and everything like that. And me personally, the house that I'm actually living in right now is my old childhood home. And this house is just, it's unbelievably haunted. Like, I'll pull in, my brother's room's right over here next to mine, and the driveway is right in front of his window. You will see like a 7-foot shadow standing up in the window looking down at you. We hear people constantly going up and down the stairs all the time. For me, that's where my interest started. You know, I found out a little girl had drowned in the baby pool out back. I've seen her, my mom's seen her. And it kind of grew from just more of like, I was sitting in here hearing things, basically being tortured every night. And then I would go to my dad's house, and his house was just about as bad. He had a big black mass that would move through his house all the time and mess with stuff. So I had a double whammy either way that I went. And just, I think it opened up just kind of like a door of, what is this? I need to find out what this is. And, shortly after I moved out of here, I ended up just kind of promising myself that I would always help people no matter what the paranormal problem was.
And then assumably that kind of led into you becoming part of like all the investigations and stuff. And as far as your investigations go, considering you said you like to help people, I assume you guys do some like residential investigations and not just like the old abandoned buildings and stuff, or like where's kind of your diversity as far as you guys investigations go?
We did do residentials, and it's something that I'm tiptoeing back into. And the only reason for that is the documentary is actually up on our YouTube page. Right before I had opened up Dead Watch, I got a call from some guy out in Minnesota, and he said he had a bunch of crazy stuff happening in his apartment. Long story short, we drove like 13 hours, get up to this guy's apartment just to walk in and him be like, oh yeah, I'm the second coming.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was bad. He was methed out of his skull, everything else. And after that, we were just like, no. I mean, he stalked me, God, 2-3 months after we left. He was still emailing me and calling me. And at the time, my son was on his way being born, and he was threatening my baby mama. He was threatening my son. He was threatening my team, everybody that he could for like a month after. So we were like, dude, we're not touching this.
Man, that's one of those things that you hear a lot of investigators where they screen people for a while before they end up coming out there. And that's exactly one of those reasons why you got to do stuff like that. And you also have to have a specific email and not necessarily have everything linked to like your personal account that says your address and all that kind of stuff. So people can find you if they need to contact you for investigations, but you leave it as like the face of the business, so to speak, or I don't want to necessarily say business, but face of like the paranormal investigation group and not tied back to each of you guys individually. Cause like I said, it's better to be safe than sorry, you know? And as soon as somebody gets one piece of information, then yeah, they end up kind of going down the line. And for all the people that actually have honest experiences, they want honest to God help with, you know, there's that 1 in 100 that's just off their rocker. And unfortunately you kind of have to find a way to weed through it. And otherwise, yeah, you end up with some awful situations.
Oh yeah, it was horrible. He called everybody individually, and it lasted for like a good 2 or 3 months until I think he ended up busting out some storefront windows in a little town that he was at and got arrested, and we just never heard from him again.
Man, at that point, I'd start doing like video calls or something like that with people and do it multiple days just so you can kind of see how they are different days instead of just being their best behavior once.
Yeah. I talked to him for God, a month before he went up there. He was just one of those schizophrenics that was just, they could put up the front so good. But the disturbing part of it all was when we ended up uncovering afterwards, and it's up on his YouTube channel. I put it in our documentary too. I found like just caches of videos on his YouTube channel talking about sex with young girls, pedophilia. Mm-hmm. Like his behavior went towards like a predatory thing. And that was the main reason why I made the documentary, was just kind of like, hey, you know, he's homeless and traveling. Keep an eye out for this guy.
Yikes, man. That's like a little bit on all ends too far in the spectrum for me too.
Yeah. It was just after that, we were like, do we really continue on with doing residentials? My thing with it is now is unless there's like children involved or family, you know, they're scared out of their minds or they're being harmed, that's about the only time that we'll really step in and take it.
Well, I guess a little bit on the lighter side, I mean, as light as it can be for the paranormal, of course, but lighter side, as far as like the people go, I'm sure that before you had that experience, you probably had a lot of very interesting cases you probably worked as far as residential cases go. And I know not everybody always likes to share the residential cases, but if there are any that you found interesting that people are okay with you sharing, I'd love to hear about some of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One of them, probably about the only one that I can really talk about, just because a lot of our former clients from our other team, they just don't associate with us anymore, and I'm trying not to dredge that up again. But the investigation that we did actually before the Minnesota one, we caught a picture. I can probably send it to you too if I can find it. My uncle went to go, was in the basement. Lady called us. She had said that there was like something banging around down in her basement constantly. And they had been like getting weird smells all over the house. And my uncle took this photo, and it's so hard to explain because like when you take it, you can see like my uncle looking down at his K2 meter, but up above him, the ceiling is like illuminated from the flash, and you can see this like hand up there. And then when I enhanced the photo and lightened it up, you literally can make out this like hat, big black hat shape around him. And it had like a skull face to it. And that was probably one of the most wildest things we probably, well, close to one of the wildest things we've ever caught. Moving forward, we ended up catching, we've caught a lot more. It's just been like, ooh. But that one had to be one of our most wildest ones. That one was actually the first time that I had ever been scratched by something. And that has just kind of been an ongoing thing. Just moving forward, is I'm just used to it now.
I mean, as far as that one goes, did you guys kind of have like a somewhat idea? Because I was almost going to say like the Hat Man, but until you kind of included like the skull face, did you guys end up digging in anything and figuring out if it was like a previous resident or something like that?
Yeah, there was no deaths on the property. We do think that there might have been some, like a portal maybe opened in her basement somewhere, because we were catching, we like up on our ghost box and a few other things, we were catching just tons of voices coming through. We asked at one point, there was a portal down there, and one voice came through and said yes, and another voice came through and said no. So we didn't really know what was going on there, but she's moved out since then. I still talk with her, and she's had no problems whatsoever since. Even she left her old roommate there, and he's had zero problems.
Makes you wonder if it's one of those things that it may have been attached to her, but only like in that specific location. Like it was interested in her, but it was attached to that area. And then once she left that area, then it wasn't interested in the roommate. So maybe it's laying dormant. I mean, maybe it's still kind of around, but just not interested. Like who knows?
We did find out that later on that he was abusive, like physically abusive. So we're thinking he might have set something off with that. The aggression and everything building up over time.
Oh, yeah. And so it was more so just the antenna concept. And then after the trauma and everything that was happening in the house was done, then it had no reason to stay around because it wasn't collecting that energy anymore.
There's nothing for it to feed off of anymore. Or like what you said, it just followed her. But she's like now she's just like, I love her to death. She used to work for me, but she is like so against the paranormal now because one of her pastors at her church told her it was evil. She won't come back or let me look into it anymore. So
just out of curiosity, did she have any aggressive encounters with this thing, or did it almost kind of seem like it may have been like thinking it was protecting her possibly?
She was complaining that she was waking up like a few weeks before we got there. One of the last incidents before we got there was she had woken up in the middle of the night, and she then looked up and there was a big black mass up on top of her, and she just felt like she was choking. She couldn't breathe. And she said, I was rocking back and forth, screaming, she said. And she said, finally, her boyfriend rolled over and kicked her out of the bed real quick and it stopped it.
So it was definitely something drawn to the energy, not like a family member or something that seemed like it was protecting her. Because that's the other side that you usually see is when there's an abusive household, sometimes something will pop up and it almost kind of plays that protector role. And it'll get mad at anybody that comes around, but it'll have one specific person that it targets that it won't hurt for anything, you know?
Yep. Yeah, and it was him. He was the one that was always coming to us like, you're wasting your time being here. There's nothing here. You guys aren't going to catch nothing. I've never witnessed anything. She's out of her mind. You guys just need to go. But yeah, when we were in there, we were experiencing stuff. We were catching stuff. And then we bring it to him, and he'd just be like, oh, that's not real. You guys faked that somehow. And it was just like, we took this picture like 5 seconds ago. How do we fake that?
I have one guy that's sitting out in the van, and the second I take a picture, it uploads on his computer, and he just has this AI program that throws a ghost in the background, and then we just...
Yeah. That was all the way back in, like, 2016, so there ain't no way.
Unless you're really advanced. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, like way ahead of everybody.
You got the feds in the van that are uploading the pictures.
Yeah.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back, so let's hop right in. And, of course, telling that story, you mentioned that it was close to your craziest experience. So I'm assuming you've had some other crazier ones. So I definitely love to dive into those since you already kind of trickled the trail that I wanted to lead down there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Do you want me to go over my most craziest, or do you want me to build up to that? Because, I mean...
Oh, I mean, if you want to do chronological order of your most interesting, or, you know, if you have a certain order you want to go in, however you want to roll, man, I'm good with it.
Cool. So probably our second most extreme one that we did, and this was after Dead Watch has been open now for a little bit. It's actually our fourth episode on our YouTube channel. And it was at the Broadwell Funeral Home over in Felicity, Ohio. This funeral home served as both a funeral home and a house. Like, these people were living in it. They were taking care of the bodies. I mean, this place still had, like, where you would put the bodies in the basement and you would have the chain that would pull it up through the trap door on the floor. That was still all there, still intact. The body, where they would lay out the bodies in the basement, was still intact. And they had some type of the owners that built the place had some type of hidden, like, abomination of a daughter, basically, that they kept locked upstairs. And a lot of sidekicks have picked up on her over the years. And when you walk in, there's this big old painting of what the little girl supposedly looks like. It's up on our Instagram. And it's just this thing with black hair, black bleeding eyes, and it's like screaming. And that night we had something with the owner kept on saying something about there being something dark in the basement. And I ended up walking out of there scratched. My brother was upstairs and he was in the middle of filming, getting some B-roll for us. And we were all sitting downstairs. I think we were eating. And all of a sudden we just heard the thump. And we shot upstairs. He had just went down flat on his face, knocked out. Still this day, I ask him, I'm like, Cody, what happened? He's like, I don't know. He was like, I was just walking through there filming. He said, the next thing I know, he said, everything just kind of went black. And shortly after, he ended up taking a picture on the stairwell that night. We ended up catching actually the little kid peeking up from over the railing. And that was the first one of our wildest nights. But the craziest night that we definitely had was the Agassiz Village over in Defiance, Ohio. We took a tour at the beginning of last year. Austin Menard, he works closely with Nick Groff, and he runs UPN, the Underground Paranormal Network, and they have like a series of you pay X amount, you go to all these buildings. And one of them was this village, but it wasn't there originally. They had taken all of the original, like, pioneer buildings and stuff from Defiance and had just moved it over to this plot of land. The craziest thing about that one was they had also undug had built a Walmart down the street and had unearthed a buried cemetery underneath the parking where they're going to build the parking lot. Well, instead of moving the bodies, they took the headstones and put them over here inside this little village and just paved over everything for the Walmart parking lot.
So there's still bodies underneath the Walmart parking lot is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes. The headstones are just sitting there.
And I'm surprised people don't see walking apparitions in the middle of the parking lot at night. Like, if you catch the security cameras, you might find some weird stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely. I was like, what were you guys thinking with that?
That's a non-believer right there. They're just looking for the cheapest method of how to do it. Because think about how much time it takes to dig up all those bodies. They're like, I ain't spending that much. I own the property. Just cover it up. There's no family members that are going to come and complain at this point.
Right. Right. And so we go out there. We get set up. And the first thing that happens is we're walking through and, like, stuff's popping off. We're hearing noises. We're hearing people talk. And the guy who operates it is walking us through. And he's like, I'm not going to lie to you guys. This is the most active I have ever seen this place. He said, I've been doing tours up here for like 10 years now. He said, I've never seen it this active before. He's like, I don't know if it's you guys coming in or what's caused it. He was like, but it is just insanely active. So he after he leaves, we kick off the night. We were teamed up that night. I mean, this place was like huge, and I only had like a team of eight people. So I teamed up with Parthamore Paranormal, Brian Parthamore. They operate out of Urbana up here, and they came out and helped us with it. I remember most of the night. It was like pretty much any normal night. We were going from building to building, just trying to catch what we can catch, getting as much footage as we could because we had gotten there a little bit late because Brian's car had broken down. And at some point, I ended up beside the old doctor's office with my sister and my brother Cody. And we were in there filming. Well, my sister finds this, they had like all the original medical tools in there from back in the day. I mean, this is before Civil War days. And she picked up this old pair of glasses and to put them on. It was like, look, Austin, look. And I went to go put them on. And as soon as I put them on, it felt like somebody just came up behind me, grabbed my lungs, and just started squeezing them. Down the point, I went ahead and go outside, and I got physically sick. The rest of the night, I was pretty much down. I still could try to continue on with everybody. We got down to the point where we were walking through the woods. I was sitting out in the car, and my basically second in command, Jay, at the time, came walking up to me, and he was like, how did you get to the car this fast? And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Well, I guess when he was walking through the woods, he had completely looked over, and I was just walking beside him. I had my brother walking beside me two or three times talking to me, and he wasn't there. At one point, we found a gun range, a shooting range. But when there was all of us, it was both teams, like 12 people witnessed it. There was a house at the end of this field, and everybody watched me walk up to it. I remember walking up to it, but as soon as I got up to it and went to go grab the doorknob, there was nothing there. Just they had completely vanished. And I mean, everybody, you ask anybody from my team, they can describe it to you perfectly. It was like a yellow house with like gray shutters, and it had candles up in the window and a chimney up on the side. Brown roof.
You said the whole house disappeared?
Yeah, the whole house disappeared as I was walking up to it.
Whoa. You didn't happen to catch anything on footage, did you? Like, no. Even just a picture of the house before it disappeared or
no,
anything?
No, we didn't get back there to film just yet, but we had been back there previously that night, and everybody seen it.
Was it like, did it seem like it was like newer, or it looked like it was less beat up, or just like anything off about it?
It looked like pretty much a really well taken care of colonial house style house, maybe like early 1900s.
So it didn't actually like fit in with the rest of the houses that were in this colonial village to begin with. It was just like a newer, updated house.
Yeah, kind of. Like I said, probably around like 1900, 1912, maybe the late 1800s. Like colonial time period. I mean, everybody's seen it.
That's interesting. It's like a phantom house. I don't know if I've actually ever had anybody tell anything like that on the show before.
Yeah, it literally, they watched me walk up to it and it disappeared. I even got on my radio when I got up to it and I was like, there was a house here. And my brother was like, yeah, there was a house there. And I heard everybody from across the field behind me just freaking out at that point. And that's when we kind of like, okay, maybe we might have stumbled into something else here that we weren't really ready for. We're seeing doppelgangers of ourselves. We're seeing disappearing houses. I'm like, I got attacked. You know, there's something else going on here. And there was actually a team that did that same play shortly after we did. And they said they were going on about something about skinwalkers out there.
Man, I was going to say, I don't know if you get into the whole like other dimensions concept, but I mean, it kind of partially goes with the paranormal stuff, kind of depending on which way you look at how the paranormal functions. But everybody talks about there being like a thinning of the veil as far as like the paranormal goes, where these things are able to show. But I mean, there's also the other side of the paranormal that those might be dwellers of like another reality. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And in certain spots, like maybe you're almost looking through a partial time slip, or you're looking through like a partial like portal into like another dimension that's existing in the same place at once. And maybe there's like a little town there rather than there being like this colonial village or something. And maybe it's a different period in time. Just there's so many different ways you could go with it, but no matter what way you look at it, it's some form of like a thinning of the veil, be it a paranormal thinning of the veil or an interdimensional thinning of the veil. But
right. Yeah, I agree 100%. it's just one of those things that I'm still, to this day, I've tried to explain it. And I mean, like, we got footage like shortly after of us at the gun range. And the weirdest thing was, is while we're in the middle of filming, it's just us talking because we were trying to figure out what to do for the rest of the night. And all of a sudden you hear this like from across the field, just ear piercing scream. And none of us react to it. None of us didn't even hear it.
Have you looked up to see if anybody else, besides you said that second group that ended up coming and looking eventually talking about like the Skinwalker activity, but have you like kept up on it to see if anybody else has reported specifically seeing that yellow house or anything?
My brother has, and I guess that he's brought it up to a couple other teams, and they've just like, what are you talking about?
I wonder if it's one of those things where you'd have to like go there and be like thinking of it. And maybe like intern about thinking of it being there, then maybe it'll somehow like appear there. Or on the other side of it, if you have no thought about it in your head whatsoever, then maybe it'll appear. Kind of have to like run an experiment and have one team go that doesn't know anything about it and another team that fully knows about it and they have the intention of actually wanting to see this yellow house.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. That's probably one that I'm not really too comfortable with. I mean, that place scares the shit out of me. I'm not going to lie.
Next thing you know, you're going to be going towards that yellow house, or you're going to walk in the door of the yellow house and turn around and realize that you're looking outside and it's just not where you were at all. You're just time slipping to somewhere else from walking through the doorway.
End up somewhere like completely across state.
And I mean, you're talking about like hearing the screaming and stuff too. I mean, I don't know if you dive into like the whole Fae activity stuff, but I mean, definitely seems semi-reminiscent of like Fae activity.
It kind of does. My sister brought that up because we were like surrounded with a lot of just open area and woods the whole entire night. So now like the joke between me and her is we just will walk around, start going, fight the fairies. But I mean, we've thought of pretty much every possible explanation that we can come up with. Later that night, I had left because it was a 2-hour. That trip about killed me. It was a 4-hour drive for my team, but Brian and his team lives in Tip City. So it was only like a 2-hour drive back to their place. But I was the one who had to end up taking them. So me and Jay left, and I left my brother, my sister, and Jay's girlfriend, Lindsay, there. And they decided, I couldn't fit everybody in my car. They decided just to go sit inside of the old museum that was up there. It had like a bunch of old horse-drawn chariots, old fire trucks from the town, stuff like that. Well, while they were waiting, my brother said, we literally kept on hearing somebody pounding on the door from the outside. He said, it sounded like you saying, hey, Cody, I'm back. Come out here real quick. He said, then we'd hear your car sound like it was pulling in, doing circles around the parking lot and then pulling out. He said, and then it would start again. Bam, bam, Cody, seriously, come here. We're back. He said, I called you and was like, yo, where are you at? And you were like, I'm still like an hour and a half away.
Dude, that's when it gets extra creepy, is when you hear familiar voices and things that are like trying to lure you out. And again, getting into the whole like Fae idea or even possibly Skinwalker. I mean, it seems to be a common motif with both of those that they'll reuse voices of things that you're familiar with and try to lure you somewhere.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I told him, I said, you didn't go outside, did you? He was like, nope. He was, I'm smarter than that. He was like, they had to go out to pee once, he said, and they grabbed me, he said, and drug me out there. He said, and I was like a statue. He said, they were like dragging me like that. He said, I stood outside that bathroom. He said, the whole entire time they were in there, he said, I kept on hearing stuff from the left. He said, I would hear stuff from the right. I would hear stuff from behind me, in front of me. He said, literally, he said, by the time they got out of the bathroom, he said, I was already halfway back at the museum. So I hauled ass.
Man.
I think that was the first time that the hunters actually became the hunted.
And that's one of those things, again, you don't want to take any chances with because it fits so many different motifs. You don't even know slightly what you could be dealing with. Because, I mean, even getting into it's somewhat fae-ish, but like the Native American, like little people, like they're known to be tricksters and lure people out. And there's also like the forest spirits that are tricksters and lure people out. Like, there's so many different possibilities of what you could be messing with that it's just like you don't know if it's going to be something physical you can deal with or something spiritual that you kind of can't do anything about.
Well, the interesting thing about Defiance is they were one of the last, I guess they were like a major foothold during the Indian Wars and everything. And that whole entire area had a fort that was burnt down And they had massacred out like, God, hundreds of Indian tribes in the area, up in that area. And the land that we were actually on was former Indian land.
See, that's where it also gets weird about those like protector spirits and stuff too. And I mean, the name's fitting, Defiance. It seems like they named it after those events, assumably.
That's actually what it's named after. You actually notice on the head.
And I think I've been through there once. I don't know what for, but don't they have, is that the place that has like the troll hole museum and stuff?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so I have been through there. Out there, it is kind of like a very flat, like a
farmland,
yeah, country kind of looking town. It just has like a little main area, and then the rest of it seems like it's kind of scattered houses. And
it's out there near Haldane County Jail, probably about 20, 25 miles out from Mansfield.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in. Do they, that township, I remember when I went to like the Troll Hole Museum, they said that they were trying to bring like tourists and stuff back into the town. So they were doing something where like, if you want to start a business there to have like a museum or some type of tourist attraction, they were going to like give you like a building for free, and then you were able to like do what you want with it and everything. But as far as what it seems like with all the weird history that's happened in Defiance, Ohio, rather than trying to do the tourist attractions like that, they should start trying to take advantage of these like paranormal locations and things. And even if they know that there's like a wooded area that has some weird activity, they can like offer like haunted campgrounds. Like, it seems like they're trying to bring in tourism, but they're doing it in the wrong way. They got to do the paranormal tourism, and they might actually have some good luck.
I think that they would. They definitely have our butts out there. That's for sure. Because we as much scared as we are of that place, we loved every second of it. We really did. I mean, they have a campground like, if I'm not mistaken, less than a mile away from the village itself. And that's what we thought it was at first. We thought it was campers going over there and just messing with us. Up until we actually started trying to navigate the land in between the campsite and that, and they would have had to walk through basically like marshland to get there. I mean, water that was like waist deep to get there. We would have hurt them. They would have got stuck at some point. We would have hurt them.
That's how you turn into a missing 411 case.
Yeah. And yeah. So my friend Jay's plan was, well, Skinwalker, let's go get it. And I'm like, how exactly, what's your plans on that? Like, I was like, we're not going to be able to lay a finger on that sucker. Because I got a machete in the back. I was like, I'll tell you what, you can run after it with the machete. I'm going to hang out in the car and see what happens.
See, that's the scary part, is you swing that machete at it, you don't even know if that machete is going to end up doing anything.
It's like when you're out there getting ripped apart, I'll be driving off.
I'll make sure I record from the back, though. Right. Just so at least we have proof of what happened and people don't think I'm a murderer. Why don't you just wear a GoPro on your head and I'll come back and just pick up the footage.
Right. We'll see what's left.
So diving into some more of your experiences and paranormal investigating experiences, where do you want to kind of bring it from here? I don't know if that was your like main big experience you wanted to share, but as far as like on the show goes, that was definitely something that has been talked about. So it was definitely like a climactic moment.
Glad to be able to share it. like I said, I'm getting the ball rolling again on a lot of things. I know after this, we got the, we're planning on grabbing the Monroe Mystery House over in Indiana. Nick Groff's been all over that. For some reason, we've stayed like a step behind Nick Groff over like the last 2-3 years. Like somehow anywhere that we've gone, week before, 2 weeks before, he was there.
Dude, I've been wanting to go there too, personally. I went to the Blackford County Jail. That's like kitty corner to that. And the whole time I was like looking at the house, and I walked past the house and it just gave me these like really weird feelings and stuff. And I don't know, that house has been one of those places that I want to make sure I go. I've heard stories about that like mirror room that's in the house. And I even heard another story that there was actually a group that was paranormal investigating there a couple of years ago. And they ended up finding a body in the basement, and they ended up having to like shut everything down. And then they weren't able to like investigate that house for a couple of years until they were able to like investigate the body that was found. But I don't know if that's like a local legend or if it's something that actually happened. But I mean, there seems like there's just so much weirdness and mystery around that house that, at least as far as our kind of area goes, because I'm assuming you're somewhat close to me if you're talking about Ohio, yeah, it seems like that's one of those main focal points you want to go to, where it hasn't been touched by the other side of tourism. Like, there's the Traverse City State Hospital, which has been one of those spots that's just legendary. But now that they've turned it into like a tourist attraction, it's like you can't necessarily go there and investigate and know that you're actually catching anything, because I feel like places like that, they start bugging stuff up. Just let if nothing's happening, at least they have like a full fallback to. But the Monroe House is one of those places that weird activity happens and it hasn't been had a chance to become that yet. So definitely one of those places I want to check out myself too.
Yeah, actually, I talked to Muscle Menard about it, and he was like, man, he was like, I've investigated a handful of times. He was like, it's one of those places that you go in there, you're pretty much guaranteed to get like legit evidence. He was like, it's just, it's off the wall active. And then after that, we're going to the Enfield Demon House in Indiana.
I don't think I've heard the Demon House like a million times because there's so many different houses that are called that, but I don't know about that specific one. I may have heard about it, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yes, they supposedly got a bunch of crazy stuff going on, so we figured that we would check that one out too. I mean, we got a lot of places still in the works. I mean, we're just on our first season of our show right now, so moving forward, it's just going to get bigger, hopefully bigger places. We are going in August with Gym City Paranormal. We're doing a team up with them for the Ohio State Reformatory.
Oh, I heard that's a really good place to investigate, too.
About that one. So that's in August. So we'll be probably honestly live streaming that. Place I would totally recommend for you to go. It's in Bryan, Ohio. It's called Father John's. It's a big old church that they have like set up to be like a partial restaurant and partial B&B. This guy travels around the world and collects up like all these weird and haunted artifacts, and he puts them down there. There's a sarcophagus in the basement. You can sit at a table that's a hanging cross and eat over a dead body that's in the catacombs underneath of you with a glass over it.
Dude, that's so weird. I would love to go there.
Yeah, check it out sometimes. It's called Father John's. They got really good food. The atmosphere is great. It's creepy. You can book a ghost hunt if you want.
Got to make sure I write that name down so I don't forget it.
Yeah, it's amazing. They're not like a Christian church. Like my brother, it messed him up because he's only like 20, so he's still learning about the world and stuff. But they're one of those churches, they like accept all religions inside of it, but it was formerly a Christian church. So he was like, how does this work? It was just like, they can do that.
Just out of curiosity, too, because you did already mention the Monroe House. Have you actually been to Blackford County Jail? Because I did an investigation there, but I think there was too many people, so we didn't really have any weird activity or anything happen. But I've always been curious of other people and their own personal activity from there, because the guy who owns the house was kind of running over some previous investigators who have had some experiences there. But when it comes to like the person that's like running the house and trying to like sell the house so that you investigate there, you know, I feel like people kind of have some fisherman tales. So I've always wanted to get some firsthand experiences from there.
Right, right. I've heard about the jail. I've never been out there. The only jail that we've done so far has been the old Williams County out in Bryan, Ohio. And that one was pretty cool. It wasn't really that active, though. It was probably one of our more kind of boring investigations. We didn't really catch anything. Nothing really happened. No, it's definitely up on my list of places to go. I mean, that list just keeps on getting bigger and bigger, because I swear these more places just keep on popping open for wanting investigators to come in.
Man, I don't know if it's actually around anymore, if it may have been torn down, but when I used to do urban exploring, I went to the Detroit House of Corrections, and it's one of those places that's abandoned. So, you know, not telling anybody to go there, but if you do, it's at your own risk kind of a thing. And I don't know if there's a history there, because at the time when I went there, I wasn't doing paranormal researching in the aspect that I am now. But when we went there, it was definitely like an interesting prison. They had like the different like dorm style prisons. And then they had like the main building where it was like all just the smaller slamming cells and everything like that. But the one time we were there, this is the only kind of weird experience that we ever really had there, but we went there during the day, so I don't really count the activity during the day. I feel like you'd have to go there at night to actually be able to experience it. But we're in this one of the dorm areas where you kind of walk in, and then it goes into like all where they have the jail cells, because it seems like it was one of those prisons where it had like the big yard, it had these dorms, but the doors would close. So I assume that during the day it was one of those things that everybody's doors open, they're kind of hanging out in the courtyard area, they kind of do their little daily tasks, and then they go in and they get locked in for the night. But in one of like the main areas, when you first walk into one of those dorms, there's this like desk, and we're all like standing there. I don't remember exactly what we're doing. We're all kind of like standing there listening or something because we thought we heard something off in the distance or something. And then this bird comes flying in and it like crashes into the desk, which is weird because it was just one desk in like the middle of the room. And then it like disappeared and ended up being like in the drawer of the desk. And then it took off and I think it hit something else and I think it ended up dying, but it was just super weird that it was like the only desk in the room. And how did this bird happen to hit it? And it was right after we thought we were hearing some like, not like a bird flying around the building, but like footsteps and stuff off in the distance, but definitely an interesting prison and probably worth checking out at night. Like I said, never got the chance to do that, but
I think my bigger question is how did it end up in one of the drawers?
Yeah, that's because the top drawer was missing. The second slide down drawer was underneath. And yeah, it like hit the desk and then it like, I think it went up and around into like the drawer because it hurt itself or something. And then when we go into like, see if it was over there and open the drawer, it like took back off out of there and it hit something else. Like it probably like broke its neck the first time and it was kind of just barely hanging on. But
that's crazy.
Also weird too, is that it was an all black bird. I wasn't as familiar with birds as I am now. It may have been a grackle. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't get to see it with the light to see if it had the blue head or not. But it was some type of like a black feathered bird too, which also obviously makes it a little bit weirder too.
Right. That's wow. That's crazy. Yeah, that's definitely one I'll have to go check out sometime. I think one of our new guys, Kenny, he likes just taking random little road trips by himself all the time. He drives up to Detroit all the time. I think he was up there not too long ago checking that out, if I'm not mistaken.
Man, if he ever comes up here and does some investigations, let me know if he wants a partner. I'm not too far. I'm literally like a couple miles north of Detroit.
I think I'm going with him here in like 2-3 weeks. I just started a new job, so it's a little still touch and go for me. But he's wanting me to ride up there with him. And Tony Bell's like, yeah, as long as I'm not busy.
Man, I wish it was still around. My one place where I had my weird experiences at was Northville Psychiatric Hospital, but they ended up tearing down the main building where all the weird activity and stuff happens, because if I was going to take you guys anywhere up here, that'd be the place. And people have been listening to the podcast for a while, have heard me talk about this place a million times. And yeah, it just absolutely sucks to this day. They ended up tearing down like the main building of it. And I'm assuming they probably tore down the satellite buildings at this point because they're turning it into a park after there's some weird random deaths and stuff there.
We had an old military, Civil War military camp up here at the edge of my town that they just did that with, just completely tore it down. I mean, some freaking fat kid fell through the floor and got hurt. So, I mean, what can you do? But it was just, I hate seeing stuff like that go because it's just like, you know, the history that's there. And whatever might be wandering those halls is still in there, you know?
Exactly. And especially with places like that, that are like, in insane asylums. It's one of those things that it's like no questions asked. You know that there's definitely some weird activity that's happened there, whether it's intelligent or residual, who knows, but there's definitely a significant amount of trauma that's happened there.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Hey guys, I know nobody really wants to listen to ad breaks on podcasts, so instead of actually listening to those, why don't you go and check out some of the sponsors and affiliate links for the show instead? Number one, you guys can go and check out I Know Squatch for all of your squatchy gear needs, or you guys can check out CryptoTology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites, or you guys can check out Snarly Yao for a fantastic natural line of beard oil, beard balm, beard shampoo, and body wash, all with an enticing woodsy aroma of smoky cedar with a hint of mint. And he also puts on a lot of fantastic events around the West Virginia area. So if you guys are in that area, make sure you guys go and check it out and see what kind of events he's putting on, because he definitely brings in an awesome group of people. And you guys can go and check out Big Ape Threads for all of their Bigfoot and cryptid-related designs. And going into the affiliate links, you guys can always go and check out the newest sponsor to the show, Organite, specializing in scale model pyramid replicas, EMF protection devices, and much more. And if you guys find any pieces that you guys want to scoop for yourself, you guys can use code OMM for 10% off at checkout. And to all the paranormal investigators out there, you guys can go and check out the Chattergeist. It is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device. My absolute favorite. I use it every single time I go out. And if you guys have any technical questions about it, you guys can always go and hit up Barry over there in Dimension Devices on Instagram. He's the guy that programmed and developed it, so he'll be able to answer any of your guys' technical questions for it. And if you use the affiliate link, you guys will receive 10% off at checkout. And just a heads up, the company is based in the UK, so when you check it out on the website, it will be in pounds. But when you guys use PayPal, it will convert over, so don't think that you guys can't scoop one just because you don't live in the UK. And don't forget to check out the affiliate link for Sticker Mule to receive a $10 credit towards your first purchase. Over there, you can get a bunch of stickers printed, t-shirts, posters, all that kind of stuff. So if you guys are another podcast and you guys are looking for good quality stuff in order to print your logos on, Sticker Mule is definitely the place for you.
And more information on all of those, of course, is available down in the show description. Let's quickly run through some commercials and get back into the show.
And we are back, so let's hop right in.
I think moving forward, too, we're probably going to start stepping more. I want to start stepping more into, like, lunatic asylums. But these places, man, they're starting to really price themselves out with a lot of their bookings. I know one of them up there in New York, she's wanting, like, $5,000 just for a night.
See, it's like a... It's a back and forth, because it's like you want people to buy these buildings in order to keep them standing. But on the other side, too, it sucks that the paranormal is getting to a point where it's like semi-popular. I don't want to say it's popular, but like semi-popular to the point where like they know they can make money off of this stuff. So then it's just like people will buy a place and then they sit on it and make people pay $500 a night to do an investigation there. And it's like $500 a night. If you're getting food, you get a place to sleep, all of that, that's one thing. But if you're just coming in there to investigate, and more often than not, you're going to end up sleeping in your car or sleeping with a sleeping bag, like $500 to investigate the place is a little bit ridiculous, yeah. You know, especially overnight. Way like maybe $50, maybe $100 if you got a group, but $500 to investigate a paranormal building, especially if it's a respectable team. Like if you got to worry about somebody destroying the building, like it's one thing. You know, just put some cameras up possibly and say that if anybody's being ridiculous, like you're going to get thrown out of the building, even if you paid for it. But if you have respectable people that are coming through, like $50, $100, I mean, it's stuff you can start working on the building with, and it's not too much to be able to just sleep on the floor in a paranormal building.
Right. Well, I mean, I the guy from Bill, our last investigation, we did Bill Manor. And the crazy thing was the week, like literally like probably a few days before we had gotten there, Ghost Adventures had been there filming. They ran up the guy's electric bill to almost $800 because they ran his furnace, left his front door sitting open. They like left trash, beer cans, you name it, laying just out in the yard, laying all over the house. They smoked inside the house after they told him not to. I mean, they completely trashed it.
That's one of those teams that they just don't really care. They're like, we're big, we're gonna do what we want, and if you want your building to be publicized, then you're gonna let us do what we want here.
Yeah, I was like, that's just so disrespectful. And I can see why some of them do step up the price on it. I mean, you gotta get those YouTubers, everybody else in there.
You gotta, I guess, kind of keep an eye out for people. You gotta have adjustable pricing, but just don't let people know that.
Exactly.
If you see that it's like a group that like destroys the place, then charge them more. But if you have like these group of like two people and they seem like they're always respectful, they leave the buildings like better off than when they came in, charge them $50, why not?
Right. Yeah, he messaged us. He was like, the only thing that I noticed was he said you guys forgot to take out the trash. He said there was a pizza box in the trash can. He said, so he was like, no big deal.
See, perfect.
I was like, cool, respectful. You know?
And just because we were talking about the paranormal for this whole episode, and before we start like wrapping up toward the end and everything, I always like to get into understanding people's like theories and their kind of understanding of the paranormal. So everybody kind of comes about the paranormal from different perspectives, different ways. Some people, of course, come about it from like a Christian perspective. Some come about it from like a scientific perspective, interdimensional perspective. Where's kind of like your ideas and philosophy as far as the paranormal goes? Like what's like your kind of understanding of it? And I know that it always changes, of course, with more information, but at least as far as right now, where's like your standing and understanding of it?
After this last 2 years, just nonstop doing this, I would be more keen to say that I was always taught, probably everybody was taught in school, that energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It can only be transferred. What I think a lot of the times that we're picking up on is just leftover energy. Some of it has some type of consciousness to it, and some of it's just that, it's just energies. And to say what that energy is, I don't think is something that we're really ever going to be able to understand fully. And if we do, it'll probably be long after my and your time. But that's what I think it is. I think it's all just based upon energy and like the imprint of energy that you leave on your environment behind you, just kind of echoing back through, almost like what you said earlier, almost like a time loop.
I mean, I definitely get into multiple perspectives, theories, and ideas as far as the paranormal goes. And it's like with every individual case, you kind of start leaning towards a different way. And then you get another one that starts pulling you back this way. So at least as far as I sit, there's like four or five different theories on it. And I kind of just sway around in between them, depending on like the story I'm hearing. Because like one doesn't fit into this idea, but it fits into this idea. And it has this weird kind of like bounce back and forth with that. But I definitely think the paranormal, though, and I know I've said this before on the show, I think there's a lot more of an understanding of it as far as occults, government secret black budget programs go. I think there's a lot more of an understanding of it than what we actually think. And the reason why there's all these like ghost shows and everything, and they kind of push the idea of the paranormal a bit, is because it's kind of almost like diluting out the water a little bit. Because realistically, all these like elites, all of these occult people, like they all at the end of the day, they want to try to find a way to essentially like live forever. And they talk about this like transferring of consciousness concept when you're getting in the elites and everything. And I think that the paranormal, whatever that world is, that reality is kind of like that bridge between that. And I think that there is an understanding of how to like transfer consciousness using that medium, but they kind of just let everybody kind of trickle the waters full of like paranormal investigating everybody else's different theories and stuff on it, and let everybody throw their ideas into it when they have a full understanding of it. And they just kind of let everybody twiddle around in the water over here. Cause I mean, as far as their, my idea of the paranormal, whether it's another dimension, whether it's something that's saved through like trauma or some type of traumatic event or some kind of big event happening there, I kind of feel like it's like this in-between space. So, I mean, whether it's in between two different realities or it's something that's overlaying over our reality, like, I think it's an in-between, and that's what can be used to possibly, like I said, bring back consciousness or kind of store it in an area until it's able to, like, come back into a vessel or something. But yeah, I think that there's a lot more occult in the paranormal than when people actually give credit to. And I had somebody on the show recently that was actually talking about a lot of like the occult philosophy with the paranormal. And he brought up a point that I'd never really thought about before. And he was saying that like paranormal investigating essentially is necromancy. And I'm like, yeah, what is like I was asking him exactly like why he thought that. And most people, like myself included, when you think of necromancy, you think about like raising the dead, not realizing that the whole other side of that is just communication with the dead in general. So paranormal investigation is essentially necromancy. And when you get into the occult aspect of necromancy and all of the grimoires and everything that's been written about that through time, it almost kind of makes you wonder what gems you could find if you're like looking in the right places under the right wording.
Right. And like going back to the whole government thing, I mean, look at all the studies that they were doing back in like the 1950s all the way up until God, the 80s. I mean, they've had to have learned something from all of that. Like they've had to get some type of answer on, you know, psychics, the paranormal in general through that.
Otherwise, I mean, they would have been researching it to the point extent that they did in the first place. Cause what would have been the point of investing that much time and money and effort into it if there wasn't something to it and you knew that there wasn't something to it?
Yeah. And I know that you've heard of, you know, the Skinwalker Ranch and the NIDS team. NIDS, the National Institute of Discovery Science, was like the pretty much America's investigation group. They were like hired by the government to do paranormal investigations. Just happened to be involved with Skinwalker Ranch, but that's a whole different ball game there.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back. So let's hop right in. And kind of leading up towards the end, I always like to leave with words of wisdom. So if there's any words of wisdom you could bestow on the listeners, whether it's to the paranormal investigators out there, the other content creators out there, or possibly even somebody that has their own weird paranormal experiences happening and they don't know how to deal with it, what might be your words of wisdom?
Always explore it, no matter what, no matter how scared you might be, no matter how much you think that you're going to get messed up in the process, chances are you're going to have a lot more of a better time with it than what you think that you are. So always pursue it. And I hate to say it, stay skeptical on certain things. You know, people out there will sell you their grandma if they can these days. So always remain vigilant and always look for the weird and the supernatural and everything.
I mean, that's the only way you're ever going to get anywhere with the research in general is if you're a skeptic and you try to weed out every single rational possibility there could be. And once you get to that point that it's unexplainable, that's when you know you have something and it's worth
it. Exactly. That's what my team does. We debunk. And then whatever's left that we're left with that we can't explain, or I could send it over to my dad or somebody like that that they can't explain, then to us is evidence.
And as far as anybody wanting to come and check out your work, possibly hit you guys up about possibly doing a residential, since you said you're starting to get back into those, or best believe even finding some of your footage, your episodes, any of that. Where can everybody come and find you on the internet, and where can they come and find Dead Watch Paranormal on the internet?
You can find us on YouTube. We're under Dead Watch Reality, just a picture of our normal eyeball logo. Then, of course, we're here on Instagram. That's at, we're at Dead Watch Paranormal, Inc. All one big jumbled word. We do have a Facebook if you want to follow us on there. But, man, the Facebook crowd, they're tough. I cannot get anything to take off on there to save my life. So I just kind of stopped messing with it for a little bit. And then we are on TikTok, too, under official Dead Watch. When the whole band rumors were going around, I kind of quit messing with it for a little bit. But we're going to get the ball rolling back on there, too. And we also have a new series. My brother's developing a new, like, mini show to go alongside our Instagram show, which is found footage. It's called Points of Interest. And it's going to focus in on different haunted locations across the U.S.
I appreciate you making the time to come on today, man. And I'm really looking forward into diving into some more of your work. And as far as all the listeners go, if you guys want to come and find any of his stuff, I'm going to put it down in the show description so you guys can find it quick and easy. And again, man, I appreciate you making the time to come on today. I know that you said that you're going to have your brother with you. So maybe next time we can do a round two and you can have your brother with you and we can dive into some more stuff, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's actually, he sent his apologies that he couldn't make it tonight. So.
Yeah, we'll hit him up for round two. That's how it always ends up going, because sometimes it's better to have the one-on-one, and then after that, you kind of start expanding out from there. So I kind of like to believe that everything happens for a reason. So there's a reason why it didn't work out today. Maybe something weird will happen, and then next time he comes on the show, he'll have some kind of huge experience to talk about. So
you're right. Yeah, he never shuts up about it. So
hey, that always makes a podcaster's job easier, right?
Oh, definitely. All right. Thank you for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
If anyone is interested in being a guest on the show, having me as a guest on your show, sponsoring the show, or getting a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, you guys can get a hold of me through email, which is increaseourrealitypodcast@outlook.com, or through social media, Instagram or Facebook. Instagram is the one that I am the most active on, of course. Or you guys can get a hold of me through the submission forms, which are available on the link tree. And if anybody is interested in podcast or audiobook production services, you guys can shoot me a message through Open Minds Media. The link tree for that is available down in the show description also. And every single thing that I mentioned throughout the entire show is available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.